Good morning. This roller coaster behind me is called the Millennial Force. It is 310 feet high, that big hill you see there, and it's located at Cedar Point Amusement Park in Sandusky, Ohio. And I've been on this a couple times, and I'm afraid of heights, so it's a challenge for me. But as you're getting pulled up that first hill, it's like probably like a minute and a half as you get pulled up that first hill. And you're like, you know, for me, there was a lot of prayers being said as I was getting pulled up that first hill just to make it through the ride. But when you get to the top and you drop down the 300 feet, your ride just begins. And you're full of emotion. You're like, yeah, then, oh, then, yeah, then, oh. And finally, you end up safely back into the station. But that ride is one of the best roller coasters I've ever been on, because just the feelings that you have as you're going through that roller coaster, you know, you come off a little bit wiped out because of the emotions that you feel. And would you say that this is how most of our relationships with people go? Would you agree with that? That most of the times with people, we have great times when we're at the top of the hill, and then we have valleys when we're at the bottom of the hill. And it's these valleys, those are the times that challenge our relationships, when we're down at the bottom of those hills, and how we respond and hopefully bring the relationship back up to the top. Yeah. One of the best examples of a roller coaster relationship is a fan's relationship with their team. You know, there are great times when your team is the best and you're standing up and you're cheering and you're like, man, you guys, I'm so proud to be a fan of whoever. And then within a play, within an inning or a couple minutes, you could be covering your face saying, why did you do that? You stink. Why would you do something like that? But most times, we continue to be fans, don't we? It's almost like a badge of honor if you are a fan of a bad team for a long time and you just keep cheering for them. It's funny in our lives. You know, I hate to admit this, but the Steelers don't even know I exist. They really don't know that I exist. And, you know, I'll be watching the game tonight, and I'll have my terrible towel out and all that stuff, and I'll be waving it. Roethlisberger won't even know that I exist. But these teams, we love them, and we'll do anything for them, and we'll stick through the thick and thin with them. Unfortunately, that's not how we treat personal relationships. Personal relationships, we give up on personal relationships so much more quickly than we do our teams. And I guess that has to do with our teams never really do anything to us except win or lose. But these personal relationships, you know, those are the ones that hurt us. Those are the ones that make us happy, make us sad. And they're the ones that require a lot of work. We're going to talk about one of the most famous, or most written about, I shouldn't say famous, most written about relationships in the New Testament, and that is the relationship between Jesus and Peter. And I call this a relationship of forgiveness and trust. A little bit about Peter. You'll hear him called Simon. His original name was Simon, but Jesus changed it to Peter, started to call him Peter because of the meaning of rock in Hebrew. He was a fisherman. He was married. He was also the brother of Andrew. And he was the most outspoken apostles. Roger mentioned this morning, that he a lot of times spoke before he thought. And he was a fiery guy. And I could definitely see some characteristics in him that might make him a good leader. That he was outspoken, that he was willing to say what was on his mind, good or bad. Now, the first time Jesus and Peter meet is when Peter was called. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to stink. Or not stink, sink, excuse me. Still back on the team thing. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Look at Peter's response to Jesus. Peter humbled himself and listened to Jesus' suggestion. "Jesus, we've been fishing all night. I'm tired. We haven't caught anything. My wife is going to be mad at me because we haven't caught anything. I'm not bringing home any money tonight." He's like, "All right, one more time. I'll do it." And just look at the reward that they got. Listening to Jesus and getting rewarded for it. Interesting concept. Peter recognized that Jesus was a man of God. He said, "Lord, get away from me." He got down on his knees and said, "I am a sinful man." Can you imagine how difficult that might have been for Peter to admit in front of all these other fishermen, these rough, tough guys? He got down on his knees and said to this man that probably they just met, "I'm a sinner." And the most astounding thing was, all those men that day left everything. How would you have liked to have that conversation with Peter's wife? "Honey, boats are up on shore. Don't need the nets anymore. I'm going to become a fisher of men." "Well, how much does that pay?" Don't know how much that pays. But they did it. They left everything and they started their wonderful journey with our Lord. What is our response to God? God doesn't tell us to go fishing every day, but he does want us to be the fishers of men. Do we humble ourselves and ask for God's forgiveness and strength, just like Peter did? Do we recognize our sinfulness and say, "Lord, you got to help me through this"? Do we recognize the greatness of God in our lives? Every day God does great things for us. Do we take the time to recognize them, to be grateful to him, to thank him? And probably the toughest question we as Christians ask ourselves every day is, "God first in our lives." Those men that day dropped everything and left to become followers of Jesus. Are we willing to put him first in our lives in all that we encounter? Here is definitely a high point between Peter and Jesus in their relationship. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I will tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Peter, if the Lord was giving him a test that day, Peter got an A plus, 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 plus. Who do the people say I am? You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Best answer maybe ever to a question. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Who do we believe Jesus is? If someone asked us in our daily life, you know, you go to church, who is this Jesus person? How would we respond? I'm going to guess that we should respond as Simon did. But is that what we feel in our hearts? Are we willing to confess our belief? Another challenge each day for us. To confess our belief in God, not the easiest thing to do. Do we understand what God is revealing to us? Jesus said to Peter, the fact that you know I'm the Messiah, that's from God. He revealed that to you. Do we understand what God is revealing to us each day about His will for us, about His love for us, about how we're supposed to act, His plans for us? Are we a rock for our fellow Christians? Every time I come here, this church, I look back or I look out and I see so many rocks in this church. There are so many people in this congregation that people could come to for help with their faith, for help with situations, just to have a hug when they need it, just to be able to talk to. This congregation is blessed with many rocks, and that's great to see. Rock to Satan. And literally, if you read Matthew, this is like two verses later in Matthew. So this is where you're going down that hill, that 300-foot drop, and that's about what it was between Peter and Jesus right here. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Peter went from rock to Satan very quickly. How would you have felt if you were Peter? Have you ever had that situation where you thought you were helping someone or saying the right thing and they got upset at you? "Hey, I thought I was saying something good here, Jesus. I said you're not going to die. Not on my watch." Jesus said, "Get away from me. Get behind me. You're interfering with what I have to do." So there's a lesson there. Peter had a plan for all how this relationship with Jesus was going to go. And his plan did not include the Lord going and dying. Not on Peter's watch. I wonder how our plans for our life match up with the Lord's plan for our life. You know, I think, you know, the Lord never said our lives were going to be easy. And His plan for us is probably not going to be, would not be easy. But have you ever felt yourself saying, "Things just are not working out for me. I'm trying to do this, 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 and this. And things just are not going the way I thought they should." Have you ever thought to yourself, "Is this the way God wants things to go? Maybe if I would start to turn back to Him, my life would become clearer. Or I could make it through the struggles a little bit more. Or I could see the good in my life or start to get some direction." I think as Christians, we have to ask ourselves, do our plans match up with our Lord's? And ask the Lord to reveal his plan for us daily. As I said before, Peter, he talked a lot before he thought. And here is a bold proclamation at the Last Supper. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. Peter again, speaking before he acts, or before he thought, saying, I'm going to go to death with you, Lord. I'll go to prison. I'll go to death. Jesus knew that was going to be false. Jesus knew Peter better than Peter knew Peter. He said, Peter, great intentions, but you're not going to do that. Does the fact that God knows us better than we know us affect us at all in our lives? You know, does that change maybe our thinking or change, you know, maybe our approach to something? And, you know, I know if I'm with Don or with Nathan, have you ever had this? You know, if you're with your wife or someone you're close to, you know you can't say certain things, like embellish the truth or something like that, because they might say, I was with you. That never really happened. I think that's what happened here with Peter. You know, God knew he wasn't going to do that. Great thought. It wasn't going to happen. Do we turn to Jesus during our weakest time, or do we try to get through them ourselves? Since Jesus knows us better than ourselves, do we turn to him during our weakest times and say, you know what, Lord, you know that I struggle with patience, and I know my patience is going to be tested today. Or I know that some weakness is going to be tested today. Can you help me through? Or do we just say, okay, if I count to 10 a whole lot of times, I'll get through this situation. Or if I try this, if I meditate or something like this, I'll get through this situation. When do we turn to Jesus? Unfortunately for Peter, the prediction comes true. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. You want a more powerful one? The one in Luke, when the rooster crows, Jesus looks at Peter. Can you imagine that? Jesus looked at Peter right after the rooster's, and Peter's like, man, I'm busted. How could Peter deny Jesus? They had this great relationship. Peter was going to be the rock of the church. He saw all the miracles. He heard all the teachings. How could he deny Jesus? Why do you think he did it? Peer pressure? Didn't want to be pointed out. Didn't want to be ridiculed. Does that sound familiar to us? How would we have reacted? Probably some of you in here, and I, I have a strong belief that some of you in here would have stood up and said, yes, I am with him. Unfortunately, I can't say that about myself. I can't guarantee 100% that I wouldn't have done what Peter did. Does our fear of rejection or going against the norm ever cause us to deny our faith? Ending on a high note, Jesus' relationship with Peter definitely ended on a high note. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples and apostles many times, and here was one of them, and this was the high point, another high point for Peter and Jesus. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." The scriptures never mention Jesus coming back to his disciples and saying, "Where were you that night?" They never mention Jesus coming back saying, "You guys left me. Where were you?" Never mention him saying anything to Peter about the denial. Can you imagine how the apostles felt when they saw Jesus for the first time and they had all scattered and Peter denied? But Jesus never mentioned it again. Never mentioned it. Jesus put aside Peter's denial and put him in charge of feeding his sheep. Can you imagine the relief on Peter's soul when he got this second chance? The last time he saw Jesus, it did not go well. And now Jesus was putting him sort of in charge on earth. Peter had to feel relieved, and I think it also was the start of Peter's motivation and his greatness as an apostle. God puts aside our sins and continues to love us. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. He continues to ask us to feed his sheep, to further his kingdom on earth. Even with our many faults, he continues to ask us to do that. What is our response? You know, Peter, the scripture that was read earlier, that was Peter talking to the crowd. And he got really strong in his conviction. And he was so strong in his presentation and so authoritative that many people started to turn that day and become baptized and become followers. So Peter took his weaknesses, put them aside, and he went out and served the Lord. Hopefully we will do the same. You know, our relationship with God is much like Peter's. Up and down, we have our good times, we have our bad times. You know what God's relationship with us is? Straight across. He loves us no matter what. Hopefully we'll work on our relationship with God. He's there for us. He has never moved away from us. He loves us. Hopefully we can work on our relationship so our side starts to smooth out a little bit and our lives match up with what God wants us to do. You know, tomorrow we celebrate Martin Luther King Day. And for some of you, it's like, yeah, I'm off work or I'm off school. But Martin Luther King He came here to fight for civil rights and to better relationships between the races. Our world right now, the relationship between races, the relationship between religions, the relationship between political thoughts is not good. There's a lot of disrespect. There's a lot of non-tolerance going on. You know who enjoys seeing that? Satan. He enjoys that. He's like, man, this is my playground right now. I got these people hating these people. I got these people not liking these people. That's just feeding him right now. As we celebrate Martin Luther King Day tomorrow and remember that man that fought for civil rights, we can think about Jesus. And his message was, love everyone. And hopefully, if that starts with us, it can start to spread. If you have any needs at this time, needs of the church, or if you would like to become a member of God's family, please come forward as we sing.